Good morning. It's good to see you and good to be in the house of the Lord. And I hope that you're having a good Sunday today, a beautiful day, and you get to get out. Hopefully you're not here too long, right? That I'm not too long-winded, but you can enjoy the day. And next week we are starting a new series entitled New. The irony of that, a new series entitled New. And the key thought for that series will be this: religious behavior can make you nice, but only Christ can make you new. Religious behavior may make you nice, but only Christ can make you new. And transformation really is in our DNA. Transformation is in our DNA. We are created to grow. And the best kind of change leaves a permanent mark on our soul. So in that series next week that we're going to start together, we're going to learn what it means to be made new in Christ. What that means, what that looks like, and we're going to have some little videos on that. It's going to be a fun series, and I'm looking forward to starting it. Today, we are wrapping up our series, My Story, My Story. And every one of us has a story to tell. Let me tell you about the time such and such happened, and or this happened, or that happened. And hopefully a few years from now, we'll have a story, you and me, that we're proud to tell. Hey, I made some new friends. I started a new discipline in my life, and it changed the direction of my life. Or Ed, I stopped something that was hurting me, and man, I feel so much better now. On the other hand, we may look back on this chapter of our life and there may be some things that we're not so proud of. We may have made some decisions that we regret. The bottom line for this series is simply this: the decisions we make today will determine the story we tell tomorrow. The decisions we make today will determine the story we tell tomorrow, later on down the road. Now, for some of you, in this season of your life, in this chapter of your life, you are going to sense something more. You're going to sense something more. Hey, I'm supposed to take a step of faith, maybe venture out. I just know that God wants me to do something more. When you sense that and when you get to that place, what do you do? Well, sometimes, there on your bulletin on the back, if you're taking notes, sometimes the best decision you can make is to go when it would be easier to stay. And that's the flip-flop of last week's message, right? So we said last week, sometimes the best decision you can make is to stay when it would be easier to go. And so this week, we've flipped that around, and you're like, oh man, I just got it straight last week. But sometimes the best decision you can make is to go when it would be easier to stay. And there's a story in the Old Testament that illustrates this perfectly, and it's the story of Abram and Sarai. And you know later that Abraham had a name change. God made him the father of many nations and changed his name from Abram to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah. And so I want to look at their story a little bit, just a snapshot or a picture of their story, and maybe learn why it's sometimes better to go than to stay. In Ur of the Chaldeans, that's where Abram was living, he was worshiping a false god named Nannar. Apparently he was like a Star Trek fan, Nannar. All right. You're like, stick to preaching, Ed. Then one day, he met the one true God there, and God gave him a very simple and direct command. And let's look at it there in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, and see what God had said to him. Genesis 12, 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Leave your people, your country, your people, and your father's household." I want you to think about that for a minute. We're going to come back to that. This seems obvious here, this next statement I'm going to say. And here it is. To go somewhere else, you have to leave where you are. Wow, that is profound. To go somewhere else, you have to leave where you are. Now, let me unpack that. What do I mean by you have to leave where you are? Sometimes you have to leave what's known, what's comfortable, predictable, what's easy. To step toward your destiny, you may have to step away from your security, as you fill that in there on the blanks. To step toward your destiny, you may have to step away from your security. Abram had no idea where he was going. God said to him, go to a place you've never been before. And Abram's response likely would have been, well, I grew up here. I have a lot of friends here. I like it here. My house is almost paid for, and if we ever have kids, I like the schools here. I get my hair cut down the street, and I know where to get my car fixed. Well, here's God's promise to Abram, verses 2 and 3, Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, Abraham probably would have responded with, huh? Wait a second, God, time out. We don't have any kids. And now you're telling me we're going to be a great nation, that you're going to bless me and my family. I mean, we've been trying to have kids for years. It's been fun, but no results, okay? Have you ever made a promise to God? Have you ever made a promise to God? God makes his promises to us. I promise to never leave you nor forsake you. I have a plan and a purpose for your life. You are special to me. I haven't forgotten about you. He makes his promises to you and me. Have we ever made promises to him? Sure we have. God, if you just help me to pass this test, I promise, right? I was like in Tennessee, I had to take the driver's test for the church van. I was like, man, this would be embarrassing if I don't pass. I did not pass. And I thought, it was such a blessing because I was like, who wants to drive a van full of 15 teenagers? Right? I was like, hey, I didn't pass the test. You know, we always make promises to God. God, you know, if I don't get arrested, I promise I'll never do that again. I don't know what it might be. But here's the thing. We're not changed by the promises we make to God. We're not changed by the promises we make to God. We're changed by believing the promises God makes to us. We're not changed by the promises, hey, God, I'll do this if you just do this. We're changed by believing the promises that God makes to us. So what did Abraham do in response to this promise? God says, I'm going to make you into a great nation, a great people. I'm going to bless you. So what did Abram do in response to this promise? Did he obey God? Did he go? Let's look here in verse 4, Genesis 12, 4. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Now, I thought about this. What would have happened if Abram didn't go? If he was comfortable there and he said, listen, I got my friends here, my family here, I grew up here, this is my town, this is my place. You know, if he had said, it would be easier to stay than to go. Besides, this doesn't seem safe, making this long trek, this venture, stepping out like this. This seems kind of stupid. Well, today we refer to God as what? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So if he didn't go, there would be no Isaac or Jacob. And maybe you sense God is calling you to something more. You'd say, Ed, yes, I feel that in my heart. I feel that God wants something more for me, that He has something more for me and my life and for my family. I feel that. If you don't have the faith to do it, if you don't have the faith to do it, but instead by fear you don't, then you have no idea what blessings you might be missing out on. 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul says this to Timothy, "For God did not give us a spirit of what? Timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline." So you need not be afraid. What does God want you to want? That's kind of been the overarching theme and question for this series. What does God want you to want? If He's going to be the author of your story, remember Hebrews 12:2, it says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." If He's going to be the author of our story, then what needs to change about the direction of our story? If He's going to be the author, if we're going to fix our eyes on Jesus, what needs to change about our story and about our life? For some of you, it might be that you need to spend more time with your family. It might be that you need to spend more time with your family. You've been working too much. You've been doing too much. And you keep saying, well, I will eventually, but you keep working. Or you may need to invest in your family spiritually. That is, you may need to make church a priority, right? Being here, developing friendships, getting in a small group, connecting with people. Or it might be you. You need to grow spiritually. Or it may be that God wants you to want financial freedom. Maybe that God wants you to want financial freedom. Why? Because you've been in debt and it's held you in bondage and it's consuming you. It's eating you up. It's all that you think about all the time. It could be that God wants you to be involved in a new ministry, that God has planted and birthed something in your heart, that it's a new ministry, that He's just kind of giving you that desire, and you know there's got to be something more. Could be that He wants you to be involved in someone else's life, to step out of your comfort zone. Based on what God wants you to want, where do you need to take a step of faith? Where do you need to venture out? How about an example of going when it would be easier to stay? I can think of an example in my life. The very first church that I was a pastor of was in Brevard, North Carolina. And it was a great little town, a lot like this town. The similarities are eerie when I think back on it. They had a small college there, and they were known as the best music college around. Nobody could beat this music college. They prided themselves on it. And they had a national forest there and a great trout stream. And it was a beautiful place to live, a lot like here. And I was comfortable there. I was about 3 hours from my parents. You got to have a buffer zone, right? Just enough. Have a little buffer zone. About 3 hours from my parents. And I probably could have stayed there the rest of my life. But I sensed that God wanted me to do something more. And it would have been easy for me to stay rather than to go. I was single. It was the last time I remember owning a Corvette. Man. Oh. Anyways, it would have been easier for me to stay than to go. But I never would have met Monica, and I probably wouldn't be here today had I not gone. Now, just to be clear, since we talked last week about the flip side of this, and now we're saying you need to go when it would be easier to stay, I just want to be clear, I am not telling you to leave your marriage, right? Don't drive home today and say, well, honey, it'd be easier to stay with you, but Ed said to go. Right? That's not what I'm saying. or tomorrow you decide, you know what, I'm going to leave my job. Man, Ed, it really inspired me. Tomorrow I'm going to go in, I'm going to tell the boss like it is, and I'm going to quit. I did that one time. It was my very first professional job. It was in Boca Raton, Florida, and I was working in the purchasing department down there. It was a little computer semiconductor place, and I was there about 2 months, and I could not stand the job, sitting at a desk 10 hours a day. It was driving me insane. And so one day we hired another new employee, and at the end of the week, I went out to lunch with this lady, and she said to me, "This place is terrible." And I said, "Yeah, I thought so, but I didn't know any better. It's my first job. I just thought this is how it is." And she goes, "No, this place is bad." And I said, "Well, what do I do?" And she said, "Well, if I were you, I'd quit." And I said, "Yeah, I should quit." And she said, "If I were you, I'd go right after lunch and quit." And I said, "Yeah, I think I will." And right after lunch, I went in and I said, "I quit. That was stupid. I don't do something stupid." What'd you learn today in church? Ed said, "Don't do something stupid." On a positive note, some of you, you're going to have a cookout. You're like, "Where is he going with this? What?" Yeah. You're going to invite some of your neighbors over, some people at church that you've never met before, or you're not even sure of their name, right? You missed Name Tag Sunday last Sunday, and you're like, "Oh, I wish I could have seen their name." But you know what? You're going to invite them over. It would be easier to stay inside in the air condition in your little bubble, in your little fortress, and not reach out. But you sense God is calling you to something more. There's a greater calling and purpose, and that's to invest in people's souls. Because people's souls are what lasts for an eternity, and this world in its present form is what? Passing away. For some of you, you're going to start helping Austin and his group, Community Builders. All right, some of you are going to find out who is Austin first, right? You're going to go to the information center. Who's Austin? And you're going to ask Austin, "Can I help? I hear you're having a family fun day here at the church August 10th, that there's going to be a tent out here, that there's going to be a Christian band, that there's going to be bounce houses and food, and I believe you probably could use some help." And you're going to say, "You know what? I care about the people in this community. I found Jesus here, and I want other people to know about him. I want other people to experience God like I have, to have a relationship with him where the Word of God has become alive to me. I want to show people here in Decorah the love of Christ in the hopes that I might be able to tell them about Jesus, if not by word of mouth, but by my actions." It would be easier not to get involved, not to seek out Austin, by the way, sitting over here. It would be easier not to get involved. But you sense God is stirring in your heart. You're like, "You know what? I've experienced Jesus Christ, and I cannot help telling others about what has happened in my life." Who's someone in the Bible who really didn't want to help or get involved? It's in his own world. Jonah. Remember Jonah, the story of Jonah? I know you know the story, right? God called him to go and to preach to the people of Nineveh. And what did he say? "I'm not going. I don't like those people." Right? "They're bad people. I don't really care to get to know them. I certainly don't want to tell them about Jesus and about the good news, about the gospel. I don't want to do that." So he ran. He took off in the opposite direction. Right? God got a hold of him. Right? Took a great fish, swallowed him whole, spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a fish to get his attention, spit him up on shore, and he said, "All right, I'll go." Sometimes we got a lot of pride and stubbornness, and God's really got to grab us. before, like, all right, I'll go to church. I know you've been asking me for months now. I'll go. All right, so Jonah goes to Nineveh. He preaches to the city of Nineveh. Then he goes outside the city limits, and he waits to see if God will destroy them or have mercy on them. And in his heart, he's kind of hoping that God destroys them because he doesn't really like these people. And so he's outside the city limits, sitting there in the hot sun in the desert, waiting to see what will happen. And what happens next? Let's look here. Jonah 4, verse 6. And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there. And soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. Well, if you know the story, what happened next? God arranged for a little worm to eat away at that plant. And all of a sudden, Jonah's little head grew hot, and he was mad. Madder than a hornet. He was so mad, in fact, that he said to God, I just want to die. I just, leave me alone. I just want to die. Jonah cared more about that plant than that entire city of people. How do I know this? Look at the Lord's response to him. Verse 10. Jonah 4:10. Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there, the creator and sustainer of all things of the universe. You didn't create it. You didn't put it there. It came quickly and it died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness. Decorah has 8,000 to 10,000, or whatever the current census is, people living in darkness. I don't know the exact number. But undoubtedly, there's a lot of people in this town living in spiritual darkness. They don't know Jesus. Oh, they might have an intellectual assent like James chapter 2, where even the demons believe in God, but we know that the demons aren't in heaven. All right? They don't know what it means to serve him, to worship him, to fellowship with him, to be made new. We're going to unpack that more next week. To be made new in Christ. They believe in him like they perhaps believe in George Washington. Oh, I believe he existed, but my faith and my trust aren't in George Washington. I just have an intellectual belief, not a heart change. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? Boy, that's convicting. I don't know, that just hits me home, because I think, shouldn't I care more about people instead of about Ed and what he wants and what he desires? Jonah was consumed with that plant. What are you consumed with today? What's on your heart? What's on your mind? What do you value? What's important to you? God says to Jonah, you need to get your priorities straight. There's people living in spiritual darkness, people who are dying and going to hell. And you care more about this thing or this business or this whatever it is that you're thinking about this morning. Man, I need to stop, because it's just kind of steps on my toes. And some of you, you're going to ask Anthony and Amanda, who work with our youth. You're going to step out of your comfort zone. You're going to ask them, how can I help with the youth? You know, they're always looking to do things. They might be going in July to a Christian music festival in Minneapolis, and you might say, you know, if you guys go and you need some chaperones, I'm in. Or you might round up some teenagers. You might know some teenagers in your neighborhood or in your family who need Jesus. And you might say, you know what, I'm going to bring some. I want to help you grow that youth group. I want to help you make a difference in kids' lives. I believe the youth. I sound like I'm singing a song. I believe the children are our future. You're going to get with Anthony and Amanda, and you're going to say, hey, how can I help? Maybe some of you, there's a book in you, and you're going to write it. Some of you, there's a job, but you're afraid you might not get that job. What are you going to do? You're going to step out to find out. You're going to step out to find out. Some of you, you may start a new business. In a few years from now, you may say, you know what? We didn't know anything, and we started with nothing. But look what happened after we followed God, and we took a step of faith, and we ventured out. Man, God has blessed our business. All praise and glory and honor to Him. Some of you, maybe you're single, and there's a cute girl where you work, at church or in the neighborhood. What are you going to do? You're going to brush your teeth, comb your hair, ask her out, right? Take a step of faith. Why is it so many of us don't go when we're supposed to? We sense it, we feel it, we know God is calling us to something more. He's saying, go and do it. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. We're afraid. We're insecure. We don't know how it's going to turn out. We tell ourselves, well, we can do it later, we'll do it later. And the bottom line is we don't have the faith. I love Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6 says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him, what? Must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Are you seeking Him? Seeking to become more like Him, to know His will? How do you seek Him? You get in His Word. Yesterday, one of my best friends called me and said, Ed, I just feel anxious right now. And I don't believe God wants me to feel that way. And I just got all these thoughts in my mind, and I'm driving my mom to Walmart, and I just got all this stuff going on, and I just cannot settle down my heart. And I said, well, the Bible says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So you pray, you present your requests to God, you talk to the Lord. And then I said, you go home and you spend some time with God in His Word. You start in the New Testament. You get in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I told him, listen, don't put a lot of pressure on yourself. Just read one chapter. One chapter. Open your Bible, read one chapter. Read it slowly. Read it out loud. Shut the door. Get alone. Get quiet. Maybe you go, he lives in Florida. I said, maybe you go by the ocean and you just sit there on a bench for a different perspective and you just read a chapter. Or read Proverbs. 31 chapters. Read a chapter a day for the next 31 days. How did Abram leave and go where God called him to go? How is it that Abraham left and went where God called him to go? How did he do this? Hebrews 11:8 tells us, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Here's my favorite part. Even though he did not know where he was going. He didn't even know where he was going. I believe that's kind of the general direction where God wants me to go. I have so much faith and so much trust in you, God, that I know you've called me to go, and I don't have all the details figured out. I don't know if you're like me, but before I start something, I want to know like all the details, right? I don't want to fail. I don't want to step out and trust and have faith in God. I want to have it all laid out. I want to be well organized and prepared. I don't like surprises. I don't want to exercise faith. How did he do it? How did he go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance? He didn't even know where he was going. How do you do it? By faith. How do you do it? By faith. By faith. You don't have to have the faith to finish. You have to have the faith to start. Right? By faith, my prayer, here's my prayer for you. By faith, my prayer for you is that you would have the courage to start, to stop, to stay, and to go. That's all 4 weeks packed into one. My prayer for you is that by faith, you would have the courage to start a new discipline, right? To start a new discipline. Hey, that new discipline for you might be, hey, I'm going to read God's Word. I'm going to read a chapter a day. I'm going to start in the New Testament. I'm going to do it. Stop. I don't know what it is that you need to stop, but undoubtedly God's speaking to you right now in your heart, and there's something in your life where it's overwhelming you or consuming you, and God is speaking to your heart, and you're saying, you need to stop that. You need to stop. You need to change. You need to go in a different direction. Some of you, you need to stay planted where you're planted. You want to take off, you want to run, you want to go, you want to do, and God's calling you to stay right where you're at, right in that marriage, right in that job, whatever it might be. Others of you, God is calling you to go. He's saying, you know what? You need to step out. You need to take a step of faith. Right? I have something more for you. Don't be afraid. I've promised to never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you. I'm going to bring you in this new venture. Trust me. You may not know exactly where you're going. You may not know all the details, but just put your faith and trust in me, and I will guide you, lead you, and direct you. The decisions we make today will determine the stories we tell tomorrow. The decisions we make today will determine the stories we tell tomorrow. Now, in the next few minutes, we're going to pray a prayer. And maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, Ed, I don't know Jesus. I mean, I know about him, but I don't know him personally. He is not my Lord and Savior. I've learned some stories about him, but he's never been real for me in my heart and in my life. And I want Jesus. I need him. And if that's your desire, you say, Ed, that's me. I'm going to ask you in a minute to repeat a prayer after me. And it's not necessarily the exercise, because God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance. So we're going to pray a prayer, if that's your desire. And the prayer is going to be, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. And I ask you to come into my heart and change me. And if you pray that with all your heart, God will honor that. And he'll change you. He'll change you into a new person. He really will. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a Christian. And you say, Ed, I sense God is calling me to something more. I know it. I know that by faith I need to go. I don't have everything figured out, but I know God wants me to do this. Would you pray that I'd have the faith and the courage to step out? Well, let's do that right now. Let's just do that. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus and you want to make him your Lord and Savior, then I ask that you repeat after me these words, and here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you just pray that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, and I just know God has something more for me. I know exactly what it is, or maybe I don't even know what it is. I just sense it. I just feel it. Would you pray that God would help me by faith to step out and trust him? Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are in that place right now, that just like Abraham, when he didn't even know exactly where he was going, you led him and guided him and directed him. Pray, Lord, the same for my brothers and sisters in Christ. No matter what situation they're in or coming out of, I pray that you'd lead them to the place where you want them to be. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.